You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Man, our favorite interview in all of baseball. They have so much fun. They are the inside the NBA version of America's pastime. And it's going down on ESPN and the MLB Network. Sean and RJ on the home of the Rangers. Kevin Millar. Austin? Does he live in Austin?
Yeah, he does. He lives in the Austin area. Yes, he does.
Okay. Yep. So Kevin Millar is set to join us here on behalf of SeatGeek on the hotline, as he's calling it right now. We'll talk about the Rangers trade market on DFW Sports Station, and we'll pop Kevin on here. He's joining us on behalf of SeatGeek. If you use the code Millar, M-I-L-L-A-R, at SeatGeek, you're going to get $20 off your first purchase. And he's joining us on the home of the Rangers and the Cowboys, and he is Austin's own Kevin Millar on the buyersafety.com hotline. Good to have him back. Good morning, Kevin. How are you, man?
Boys, how you guys doing?
Doing well. Have you played golf this morning, or are you set to play golf?
Hey, you know, it's funny. Old John Lackey's picking me up about 10 o'clock this morning. We're going to go out and probably get out there and swing it for about 9 holes.
I knew it.
Nine holes. That's it. Sometimes you get seven in.
He's got to work.
Well, you know what's funny? Yeah, it's at this, you know, the schedule. I got to be back here by like 1:30. So, you know, early morning, I like to get out there about 7:38. But today we were knocking out a few of the radio shows, and I'm like, man, let's at least go swing the golf club. You know, it's just one of those sports. You got to go out there at least swing it.
Where are you playing? Are you in Austin?
Yeah, so we live out here in Austin, Texas. You know, so our club here, the University of Texas Golf Club, it's closed for a couple weeks because they're redoing a few things. So we just kind of go, you know, mosey around down the road. He's a member at a place called Spanish Oaks also, which is a real nice place. But it's for the rich people. See, I'm fake rich. John's real rich. So you just kind of got to go with your rich friends.
So when you are doing the show, they're just setting you up. Are you telling me that the camera setup is live in your house?
We get a studio here, yeah. When we say that, like, it's just this little camera. It's a heck of a lot littler than you would think it was. And how they feed, you know, HD television these days from all the technical side of it. But yeah, there's an earpiece, there's a microphone, I got this little camera.
Oh my god,
half the time I'm in my bathing suit, but don't tell anybody. Is anybody listening to the show?
Nope.
Flip-flops and bathing suit, sometimes maybe the long underwear on, but collared shirt, and we're ready to go.
Chop, he is living your life. You leave the show every day, you go play golf.
That's
but
my
you,
life.
You got to come in here at 4 o'clock in the morning. He's sitting there with his nice tan after 9 holes.
I got to drive 35 miles and you walk 35 feet.
Yeah,
that's just not fair.
Give him the odds on Tahoe.
All right.
Or ask him the Barkley odds.
So you know that they're doing the American Century golf tournament, the celebrity golf tournament, which you should be in, by the way. That's this week in Tahoe.
Yeah, last 6 years I've played in. This year I'm going to be in D.C. on Sunday, so it fell on this All-Star week, and I almost cried. But hopefully next year we'll be right back there. It's one of the funnest events out there, period, end of story.
Who is the favorite to win this year?
You got to beat Mark Mulder, period. I mean, he's won it back-to-back years, and Marty Fish and Mark Mulder seem to always end up there at the top of the list. Derek Lowe, my old teammate, he had 1 year where he played in the final group. He's a very sneaky sleeper. Obviously, Tony Romo's a guy that, you know, he's got some experience now under his belt doing his thing. But I just think that if you were to tell me who's going to win, I would probably say Mark Mulder. Marty Fish finishes in second. And then you can start flipping a coin with your Tony Romos, your John Smoltzes, and guys like that.
Man, you nailed it. Mark Mulder, 8-5 odds. He's the favorite. Those pitchers, they always have 4 off days in a row. They can play golf like crazy.
Too.
And then Smoltz is 10-1. Romo's second place, 2-1 odds. And Steph Curry at 15-1.
All right, what are Kevin, if you get this, what could we offer him up here? I don't know.
We'll let you come back on the show if you get this right.
What are the odds for Charles Barkley from Vegas to win it?
1,000-1.
Worse.
3,000-1. 5,000-1.
Worse.
10,000-1.
6,000-1 for Charles to win it. Is that worth a $10 laydown in Vegas for the value?
No, keep your 10 bucks. I play with Charles, bro. He's the sweetest guy in the world. And let me tell you, he used to be like a 7 handicap. But this is a true story. We're playing. and he's got Oakley's on, and they're kind of on his forehead, right? So then as soon as he would, you know, he's kind of getting, teeing up his golf ball, and he'd, like, look down the fairway, and as soon as he would go back, he would slip these Oakley's down and then swing. And I'm like, what the hell is he doing? You know, right before he was swinging. In the Oakley's, he had them taped. So basically you can't see through the glasses because as soon as he would see the ball, that's when he kind of stops and does his, like, pause and he can't quite go.
Yeah.
He has that situation going.
Oh, no.
But he would have the Oakley's on his forehead, take his practice swings. Everything's normal. As soon as he'd, you know, get over the ball, he would flip these down, basically hitting the ball blinded because it, at least his swing would be fluid. And I was like, that's the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. And he, if you're around Charles Barkley, one of the greatest guys, great with fans, great with people. And that's how I always judge somebody, man. It's like, you know, how are you with fans? You know, he's going to be great to guys, you know, like us and that are in that circle for that, you know, little time. But super sweet guy. And what he battles and goes through, man, you never want to have that on the golf course. But he still has fun.
Kevin Millar, SeatGeek. Use the code Millar to get $20 off your first purchase at SeatGeek. What's the true crime is that a lot of people don't remember or realize that Charles could play. His swing was smooth.
It was.
And then all this happened, and now he's the walking joke out there. But he could play, right, Kevin?
He could, man. He, you know, he talks about, you know, him and Jordan used to play, you know, serious money games.
Yeah.
And then he got to a point, and then he's tried everything. Like, he's had every swing coach and mental side, and it, you know, it's funny because it just happened. And it's got to be just a scary situation. You're talking about an elite athlete, you know, dominated the paints at 6 foot five, six, however tall he is. And then you're a five to an eight handicap. You're playing with your boys. You're gambling. All of a sudden this happens. It's something that makes you cringe. It's almost like the ground ball at second base that you can't throw to first base, you know, with Steve Sachs or guys like that get that thing. And, you know, I just kind of like, it's like saying the word shank. You know, you just want to use the S word. You don't want to say shank because when you get the shanks, it'll make you cry.
Have you ever played with Jordan?
I've never played with Jordan. He was there at the Tahoe event. We're at the same event, but I've never gotten paired with Mike Jordan. And let me tell you, guys that have said it's just a blast. He's another just cool dude, but you better get your checkbook out because he loves to gamble on that golf course, which is a fun thing.
Kevin Millar, MLB Network, World Series champion, joining us here on 105 through the Fan. All right, you know, the Rangers season, I mean, it is what it is, so they're gonna be sellers here. Adrian Beltre, massively respected throughout the game. Do you think that they actually will agree to a trade? And if so, like, you know, what kind of value do you think he actually has?
Well, his value immediately at this point in his career is that veteran presence, period. That tough little at-bat come playoff time. See, the thing with the playoffs is the game starts going real fast. You look at the great ones like a Derek Jeter. Let's just use him as an example for many years on that stage in New York. The game slows down in big situations. And the great ones that happens, Tom Brady, you know, it's just like, okay, go back. Everything's a little bit slower. The Joe Montanas. But when you get into those postseason, things just get fast. You know, you go, oh, my God, I want to hit a home run. I want to get a – and so I think his presence immediately, that leadership quality that he has, been playing this game a long time, and that's what he brings. He's a good person, and he still has some ability to basically have some good games. I don't know if he's an everyday scene to put him at third base and take a – you know, put a team on his back. And I think Adrian would tell you that. But I know one thing, he can still – you know, drive some runs in and play some decent third base when healthy. And, you know, there's no doubt in my mind I'd have him in my foxhole.
Can you see a team need out there? You know, does he have to stay in the American League so he can DH? Do you see a particular team out there with a need for him?
Yeah, I would definitely think he'd stay in the American League, being for that reason, to put him in, you know, a good matchup situation off the lefties or whatever it is. You know, need-wise, you'd have to go through all of the teams. I don't know a specific team right now. I mean, you can start, you know, the top three teams would be the Red Sox, Yankees, and the Astros. You probably don't need that situation. You know, a lot of those guys, Astros probably bolstering up some bullpen arms, maybe a catcher with Brian McCann out in the Yankees. I mean, you've heard Manny Machado talks all of a sudden. I'm like, where in the heck do they need Manny Machado?
Yeah.
I'd probably go get a starting pitcher if I'm the Yankees. Red Sox are a pretty darn complete good team, and the Astros, you know, like I said, you know, the catching help and with the Giles situation, but you know, you'd have to go up and down the rosters and see, but I definitely feel he's a guy that could help a club, no doubt in my mind.
Do you think the Hamels is the first move they make, and maybe they are able to move on from Chu and potentially even move in Elvis Andrus if they wanted to?
Yeah, I think, you know, Cole, once again, postseason experience with the Phillies, left-handed pitcher, gets out the tough left-handed hitters, you know, down the stretch. So, yeah, that's a guy that we're talking about. We hear a lot about J.A. Happ, you know, in Toronto, but Cole Hamels is a guy that I'm going after if I have the finances and the ability to do so, or if he allows me to do so. I know he's got a no-trade clause to a few of the teams out there, but, you know, it's going to get very interesting because you look at a team like the Rangers who are 40-54. They're, you know, 21 games out. It's going to be a hot and long summer, but they have some pieces that can really help teams and add value down the stretch. And that's when, you know, if you're John Daniels, you're sitting here going, okay, how do I keep my organization moving up and up? Because it's a process. It's not a fun process for fans, but you have to keep building this farm system and not miss in the June draft when we draft first rounders through 10 rounders. You can't miss in those picks and selections also to keep building that farm system.
Kevin, there's an overall concern about the state of the game right now. You guys are talking about it every day on TV. Everything seems to be either a strikeout, a home run, or a walk. Some ratings are down. Attendance numbers are down. You're looking at these teams, you know, the Orioles and the Royals and these records that are out there that are abysmal before the All-Star break. What's your overall take on the state of the game and some of the concerns with it?
Yeah, the concerns are we're losing that tough little at-bat. You know, we're losing that grinding at-bat. Everybody, you know, strike out or out, they don't care anymore. You know, you're seeing guys strike out 180 times or on pace for 200 strikeouts like it's no problem. I, as a player, I hated striking out. I'd rather pop up to the catcher, but it was just kind of like that cat-and-mouse game. It was you versus him. And now we're talking launch angle and home runs pay, and next thing you know, we don't – you know, there's just that competitive nature. When you get in the batter's box – to choke up, to change your stance, to spread out a little bit, to just grind it out. And it seems like we're swinging 0-2, 1-2 like it's a 2-0 and 3-1 count. So that gets a little frustrating to watch sometimes. The game's in a great place as far as young talent. You know, your Alex Bregmans and all these young guys and Nomar Mazars, and you see some ability, and everybody's big and strong these days. And I just would love to see what we're so consumed on the numbers and the spin rate. And instead of using our eyeballs, sometimes our gut feeling in baseball to say, hey, I want this guy hit. I don't care if he's facing lefty on righty or righty on lefty. Who cares? He's been throwing the ball great, or his stuff's good, or, you know, he's been having good at-bats. We're just so consumed on numbers. It's almost like premeditated. It doesn't matter. Like, oh, you can't face him the third time around because that's what the book says. And I'm thinking, bro, this guy's dominating. That hasn't been a hard hit ball for five innings. Why do we have to take him out? So that's the stuff that kind of started to bother me a little bit.
Kevin, I don't know if you saw an article. It was on ESPN the other day about the shift. They asked several players, you know, left-handed hitters, why they just can't go the other way. Scott Boras said it's discriminatory to left-handers to have the shift. Do you think they should, you know, limit the shift, get rid of it, or is it just that? Is it easy enough to where they should be able to go the other way?
It's not easy enough. It's not that you want to go to the field and watch Joey Gallo hit four dribblers to third base. That's not fun, right? That's not what the fans code. Joey Gallo has an opportunity to hit a 500-foot home run. So people think, oh, just lay one down. Yeah, that's cute. I mean, I don't know. Is that what you guys want to see? You want to see Brian McCann or somebody like Joey Gallo or somebody like, you know, Jason Giambi back in the day and David Ortiz? No. So I think we're the one sport that they need to make an adjustment. Maybe it's two guys on each side of the second base bag. You can't have three. You know, an offensive lineman, you can't line up nine guys on the line. You know, there's formations and there's rules that you have to follow. You can't stand more than three seconds in the paint in the NBA. So maybe you just kind of adjust it to where you could shift, but you can't move an entire team over. And I'm using Joey Gallo as an example. When we were watching him play the Astros about a month ago, there were seven guys on the right side of the field. It's a little bit embarrassing because Joey Gallo, yeah, you're thinking, man, just hit a ground ball anywhere on that side. But I just think they gain too much. And now that your analytical guys will sit back there and go, hey, we're doing our research. We're doing our homework. You know, you got to now make the adjustment. Okay, there's some of that. You're like, okay, yeah, you're right. But don't you think that the game would be better if we saw, you know, you have the first baseman shade over as much as he wants to second base. The second baseman can play right behind second, but he can't go to the third base side. You know, you got to maintain that baseball kind of look.
We'll let you go with this. This weekend or next week, I may be heading to Austin for a little vacation time, and I need to have one bar or one must-go-to restaurant. I'm a barbecue guy, so I've always wanted to go to this Franklin's. I don't know if I can deal with the line. Is it worth it? Give me the food spot and the one bar spot to go to Austin?
Come up to Steiner Ranch Steakhouse, man. You're going to have a great view. There's going to be some live music, and you grab yourself a great steak. It's a great scene, and that's probably about 20 miles right outside the city. It's where we all live out. It's a place called Steiner Ranch, but I'm going to tell you, it's a nice spot. If you want to go wait in line and wait for some barbecue, you can go to Rudy's. Rudy's has just as good as barbecue as Franklin's. You can walk in and order your cream corn and roll.
Woo!
Barbecue.
Barbecue? Right? No, not right. Oh, what do you mean barbecue?
Hot take. I need some oven mitts, man.
Hot take.
Hey, if you want to wait in line 4 hours, trust me, I can make you a nice brisket that's going to taste just as good for free and not wait in line.
Chop, he is your twin soul.
Yeah. He's my spirit animal.
He's your spirit animal. And what about a bar? Any good chill drink spot?
Oh man, I mean, is there anything better than a nice margarita on the water? Hula Hut's a nice spot, you know, on Lake Austin.
Okay.
I love going down there on the boat and kind of sitting back there, and you get the water and you get like tequila in your brain. That's the way I look. It screams tequila. So if you're okay on tequila and don't get angry on it, go get yourself a nice margarita at Hula Hut.
Kevin Millar, use the last name for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase right now. Millar. He's our favorite baseball guest. He's all over television. Go hit the links and enjoy the weekend. Thanks so much, man. Awesome as always.
Thanks, boys, for having me.
How you gonna beat this guy, Kevin Millar?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.